The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
.507 on the Central Coast on this Monday, March 18th, 2024. I'm Dave Congleton. What happened this weekend? Here's the Tribune. Cal Poly President Jeffrey Armstrong condemned the behavior of students and visitors during St. Patrick's Day partying that left several university buildings trashed and saw numerous reports of thefts from the on-campus facilities on Saturday morning. The reported damage came as nearby thousands of students and visitors crowded a neighborhood next to the college for an annual block party known as St. Fratty's Day. We're going to approach this from a couple of different angles. First, joining us in studio, always good to be in conversation with editor, publisher, Tom Franciscovich, and editor, and resident of St. Louis. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. Thanks for having me today. It's a beautiful day, nice and warm out.
You surprised by this news, by the way?
Oh, you know, I guess I am, but I'm not. You know, we've seen this play out before. It's interesting. It evolves every year a little bit. But no, to answer your question, I'm not surprised.
All right. We'll hear from Tom Moore. But I also want to bring Kathy into the conversation. Kathy lives here in San Luis Obispo, also over near Cal Poly. Kathy, good afternoon to you as well.
Good afternoon, Dave. Good to hear from you.
Kathy, thanks for joining us. Kathy, general area where you live, just to cite it for our listeners, how close to campus are you?
We live on Fredericks between Hathaway and Kentucky Avenue.
What was it like for you this weekend?
Oh, my goodness. It was pretty terrible. I mean, there really are no words. We were woken up at just after 3 a.m., a sorority next door had a loud party, and then just parades of students in front of our house, in our yard. It was pretty disruptive.
Now, is this an all-night party, or did this party start at 3 a.m.?
It started at 3 a.m. It lasted until about 11, I would say, in the morning, but the neighborhood was active all day, and then parties started up again that night.
And, Kathy, is this an annual event? I mean, I know the St. Fratty's Day has become an annual event, but is what goes on in your neighborhood, does this happen every year, or is it particularly bad this year?
Well, the crowd was double this year. There's a history. It started in 2009, just a handful of guys in a fraternity down on Hathaway. And it sort of evolved until the roof collapsed in 2015. And then after that, things died down until after COVID. And in 2022, there were 2,000 people at the street party. And then last year, there were about 3,000 to 4,000. And this year, 7,000 to 8,000.
7,000 to 8,000, Tom. I know I'm alive, but I live in San Luis, too.
That's a lot of people. Kathy, I'm curious to know about the police response. There was a lot of talk about Slo PD increasing their presence this year. Did you feel that in your neighborhood? Were there signs of that around where you are there?
Yeah, definitely. We saw a huge police presence. I think, you know, usually we're woken up by fireworks at 4 a.m., and this year there were no fireworks, and I think that's because there was a constant stream of Slo PD units, bicycles, and also just guys on foot or women on foot walking the neighborhood. So we definitely felt that.
And good for Slo PD, and thank you, Chief Scott. But my rhetorical question is, will the university reimburse the city for all the overtime and additional staff to keep this 3 a.m. party under control? That's just a rhetorical question.
I'm not sure it's rhetorical because I think that's been addressed. And they said that since it's not a sanctioned event, that they don't bear responsibility in that.
And who's the they, the university?
I believe that's what, that's, you know, I go to RQN meetings and that's what has been discussed.
All right. So, Kathy, also introduce, because I had never heard of this until I saw your email. I was not aware of the proliferation of so-called illegal fraternities in the neighborhoods around Cal Poly. Explain this, please.
Sure. So back in 2015, when the roof collapsed, it was identified that that was the first St. Fratty's Day was down there. It had been going on for a few years, and there were a handful of fraternities on Hathaway at that time. We live in a neighborhood that's a residential neighborhood. It's considered R1, R2, which is fairly low-density residential, single-family homes, that sort of thing. In San Luis Obispo, the municipal code does not allow fraternities in R1 or R2 zones. They're only allowed in R3 and R4 zones with a use permit. But because we've been so affected by these fraternities, we had one next door, across the street, around the corner last year, it became pretty bad. I started doing research and found out that they're not even legal here. So I started identifying with where they were at, and I identified over 50 illegal fraternities in our neighborhood and over in Lower Monterey Heights. There are 40 in our neighborhood, which is, it's about 15% of the houses in our neighborhood.
Tom, did you know anything about this? Have you heard about illegal fraternities?
I sure haven't. This is interesting. Kathy, how did you identify a fraternity house? Was it just made up by members of the fraternity, or is there some official designation those homes receive?
Well, the San Luis Obispo Municipal Code has a legal definition for a fraternity, and that's if a group of guys or gals, a sorority, you know, they're defined as members who hold events or gatherings related to the fraternity at the address. So rush parties and that sort of thing. And I was able to identify them by going onto their Instagram and other social media and finding their posts that they're advertising rush parties and things. But then there was an assembly bill, 524, called the Sorority and Fraternity Transparency Act, that passed last year and required all universities in California to publish online their sanctioned events and the locations of those events. So I was able, that was due, they had to publish that by October 1st. So I had already done my report, but I was able to cross-reference the addresses with the reports on Cal Poly's address, and they all matched.
Wow, great, great work, Kathy. That's excellent investigative journalism there. The other question I would have is, would those be sort of considered like a satellite fraternity sorority house to the headquarters? Are the headquarters located somewhere else, but then these homes are in your neighborhood?
Is that how it works? It sounds like they're satellite houses.
Well, many of them are the main chapter houses for the fraternities. I've identified over 75 fraternity houses in San Luis Obispo. Only 7 have use permits, and about 50, over 50 of those are in our residential neighborhoods.
And what was the response from the city when you brought this to their attention?
Well, we had a meeting on October 8th, and I had an extensive report and all the documentation. They weren't aware of the assembly bill and that they could just go on Cal Poly's website and see the addresses. So it's been a lot to unpack. They are, I think, slowly trickling out notices of violation to some of these houses. And, I mean, it's a nightmare every weekend, to be honest. But St. Fratty's Day, obviously, you know, is the most problematic event. But there's fraternity parties with 200-300 people every weekend in our neighborhood, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night.
And I have a feeling at the St. Fratty's Day party, there were a lot of those students from out of the area. Can't prove it. Just, I remember Mardi Gras students would come from around the area. So Kathy, what do you want from the city? What do you want to happen here?
Well, first, you know, I've been asking for St. Fratty's Day to be shut down or for them to do something to stop it. I mean, I could see this coming. I spoke at City Council last year. I was happy that they implemented the safety and the double fines this year, but it still didn't obviously make an impact because the crowd size doubled. I mean, I just want to, I would like to see the event stop, obviously. I think moving the fraternities out of the neighborhood would be a huge step in making that happen, but the horse has sort of left the barn as far as word of mouth goes and the momentum that's now behind this, you know, street party. So I'm not sure how it's going to be shut down, but
And is that permitted? Do the students have to have a permit from the city to have that party?
Well, they could never get a permit from the city to have that party.
Yep.
No, that would not be allowed. And the city doesn't sanction it. Cal Poly doesn't sanction it. So this is why it's different than, like, Mardi Gras was sanctioned by the city. So the city said, we're shutting it down. Poly Royal was sanctioned by Cal Poly, so they said, we're shutting it down. But no one's taking responsibility for this Fratty's Day event.
You just want to ask them?
Yeah, I'm wondering about the people that own these homes, Kathy. Have you talked with them, the landlords?
Yeah, is it mostly rentals? Is it mostly students that surround you?
Yeah, it has evolved to that point. Oh. When a house goes up for sale in our neighborhood, it's snapped up by an investor. A lot of times it is rented out to a fraternity. I've spoken with some of the most egregious ones. There's one down the street that's had 20 noise citations in 2 years. So I did give him a call, and I've spoken with him, and he's promised to make things better, but now I'm being targeted by those fraternity members. And so, yeah, it's a slippery slope, and I'm not sure really what to do. I'm kind of relying on the city.
What do you mean targeted?
They're posting my name on social media. I have people coming into my yard, up to my bedroom, saying things. There's just a lot of just a lot of stuff is happening.
So why don't you call
cyber stalking?
Why don't you call Lindsay Harn and sell your house? Get the hell out of there.
Well, you know, I mean, it's complicated.
Right.
First of all, we have our home here, but secondly, like, they're the ones that aren't supposed to be in our neighborhood. Why don't they leave? You know what I mean? Like, this is supposed to be. Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, I agree with you, but Tom, am I missing something? Just sell your house and get out.
That's probably what I would do. I hate to say it, but gosh, it sounds like you've endured a lot of stress and hassle. If people are, you know, wandering in your backyard and putting your name on social media, that's got to be really tough to deal with. Have a lot of people left the neighborhood where you are there, Kathy?
Yeah, they have.
Mostly students.
We've dozens. Jan Marks is an example.
Yeah. And tell the story. Tell the story about Jan Marks.
I think she just finally gave up and sold her house and moved to a more family-oriented neighborhood. And she was up on Albert Drive, which is now, I think there's 7 fraternity houses on Albert Drive now.
She was living right across the street from our dear friend Marilyn Leverich, who bought her house in 1960. And when Marilyn left to go into a retirement home, there were like 2 houses on all of Albert Drive that were not owned with new students. That's how bad it is. I got to get this break in or I'll be out on the street. Kathy, we so appreciate you giving us that update. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And please keep us posted.
Have a good afternoon.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Tom Franciscovich. I mean, that's only part of it. And then there's what happened on campus. I'm Dave Congleton. I urge you to stick around. Question coming in on the Stolberg text line, whether or not Kathy, the one we just heard from, can the grand jury investigate? Well, sure. If somebody were to file a complaint, Kathy, if you're still with us, I guess Tom Franciscovich, you could. Well, and you know, so that's what happened. It based upon the reporting of the Tribune, it seems like Saturday morning, the party started at 3 a.m. I'm trying to wrap my head around that. At 3 a.m., they start partying. In the streets, they have this huge block party. Then, meanwhile, on campus, they trashed one of the dorms. They broke ceiling tiles and stuff that it was so bad they had to evacuate the dorm so the university could come in and clean it up. They trashed cars. Not like what you and I did in college, Tom.
Dave, I don't understand the waking up at 3 a.m. to party. That baffles my mind. I cannot imagine there being any reason to get out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning to go start drinking beer. I just don't get it.
It's St. Fratty's Day.
I guess so. But why don't you wait until, you know, 8 o'clock at night or whatever time? But the early morning partying is hard for me to wrap my head around. I just don't get it.
So here's the part that I don't get is that if your street, you decided to have a block party and shut down the street and invite thousands of your friends. I'm pretty darn sure, Tom, that Slo PD would show up within a few minutes and go, where's your permit? What do you think you're doing? Closes down now. Is that a reasonable assumption?
I think it is, Dave, but how do you do that? How do you physically disperse that crowd? And then where does that crowd go and what
happens? You don't let it become a crowd.
Yeah.
I'm not Rick Scott. I got a lot of respect for the guy. But it seems to me that if you want to get a crowd under control, step one is to keep it from becoming a crowd.
You know, the problem, Dave, and the difference is, you know, between now and the time you and I were doing this is that the social media thing, they got their phones and they'll say, hey, let's go from Hathaway over to Fredericks, or let's go across town to Laguna Lake or whatever. It's too easy to communicate. And I think Slo PD knows that. You know, if they disperse that crowd, it's going to be a matter of minutes before they find somewhere else to congregate. So, it, like Kathy said, the horse got out of the barn. And how do you put that horse back in there? I have no idea.
Well, the larger question for you, sir, is what about the so-called, it's tongue-in-cheek, but a legitimate question, do students have a right to party? I mean, you were young once. I was young once. We probably did some things we don't want to talk about on the radio. It's just part of growing up.
I think they do, Dave. I think everybody should have the right to enjoyment, but your enjoyment shouldn't impose on somebody else's enjoyment. You know, so people shouldn't be in Kathy's backyard or anybody else's backyard or putting their names on social media. I mean, absolutely, responsible partying is going to happen on a college campus or near it, and you're not ever going to stop that. But there's got to be a line.
Bennett Manning Pierce, 21. Parents must be so proud of him. He was arrested for climbing on a pole designed to support wires. What could possibly go wrong with that? Thomas Patrick Callahan, public intoxication, resisting or obstructing an officer. Aiden Lear. Mr. Lear, climbing on a pole designed to support wires. What is this? I've seen photos here. There are people back up on the roof. Do we need an ordinance in this town, Tom, that says no house can have more than 10 people on the roof at a time? Is that what it comes down to?
I think that's probably reasonable. I don't know. Is there something like that on the books? I would bet there is.
Well, because we had this problem in 2015 that Kathy pointed out. They had all these people on the roof, and the roof gave way.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
I would think somebody would be saying, hey, you kids, get off the roof.
But again, Dave, how do you enforce it? What do you do? Do
you so you just give up?
You show up in your riot gear and disperse the crowd and then antagonize the kids and they go somewhere else. I mean, you know they're going to congregate somewhere else. And I think that's the challenge. I mean, I talked to my daughter about this, and I've got to, by way of full disclosure here, let you know that she was at this party on Saturday. It was the first time she's ever gone, and I gave her a really hard time about it. And I said, why in the world are you going to get up at 3 a.m. to go do this? And she says, Dad, I just want to experience. I just want to experience it once. I want to check it out.
Yeah.
And she went, and I had lunch with her today, and we talked about it. I said, well, what happened? And she said, nothing. You know, kids were under control for the most part, having fun. There are some bad seeds out there causing problems, the kids climbing the power poles or whatever. But I don't know. It's a tough question. I used to be such a hawk on this issue. I've kind of softened a little bit, I guess, because I've got kids of this age. But
you don't live in that neighborhood.
I don't live in that neighborhood. But, Dave, I wouldn't live in that neighborhood. Yeah. You know, I would have waved the white flag a long time ago. And I feel really sorry for people that do, and they've had generations come up through those homes. But I wouldn't stay there.
But I hope you're not suggesting that we just wave the flag to the kids and just...
No, not at all.
This isn't Haiti.
No, not at all. Not at all. No, no, no.
All right, Tom Franciscovich here for the hour. Do students have the right to party? Let's talk about what happened this weekend. We'll take your phone calls as we continue. This is Hometown Radio. And Kristen Becker will be one of our guests on Wednesday. Meanwhile, Tom Franciscovich, editor-publisher of Slo Life magazine. We're looking at a different chapter of Slo Life. What the heck happened this weekend with the Cal Poly students? We're reminded on the Stolberg text line that it wasn't just the ceiling tiles in the dorm that were trashed. Those hooligans set off the fire sprinklers and totally trashed the dorms, Tom.
Not good, Dave. Not good at all. I don't understand that. Bad behavior should be punished.
Also, the other text before the calls. In the old days, if you got in trouble in town, you got kicked out of school. It's an honor to get into Poly. Why not get rid of those not appreciating the honor and allow some students who didn't get in, but make good citizenship part of the contract of being a student? I like that.
I do, too.
Be a good citizen.
And it's all on film now, too, Dave. Everything's being recorded. We know who these kids are, and they shouldn't be there. I agree 100%.
What was Armstead's? Or not Armstead, I'm sorry, Armstrong. Armstrong.
He had a pretty strongly worded letter, and he said, you know, used some language I'd never heard him use before. You know, if you're misbehaving, you should not be a student on this campus. And so I agree with him.
805-543-8830, 800-549-5832, if you want in on the conversation. We go to Kelly in San Luis. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how's it going, Dave?
We're good, Kelly. Thank you.
I just wanted to comment that I remember the Poly Royal debacle from a million years ago.
Sure.
And those students were severely punished by taking away all kinds of activities on campus. And I don't think Armstrong is really actually stating that he's actually going to punish these students. He's saying it's unfortunate what happened, but not really actually saying that anything, there's going to be any consequences for this.
What consequences should there be, Kelly?
Removing certain events that the students look forward to, as such as, like, I know that St. Braddy's Day is not a non-sanctioned school event, but at the same time, it got the message across hard to the community because it unfortunately affected the entire community because it was a family-friendly event.
Yeah.
So it should be any event at Cal Poly, take away something from them. There has to be at least something taken away as a punishment.
What do you think about that, Tom? Take away something.
Yeah, I guess so. That might be a start. I think, you know, just being a stronger leader, I think, would be a good thing, too, you know, and drawing a line and holding people accountable. So I think all of the above. You gotta try it all.
Kelly, what about the event itself?
I'm curious about being a stronger leader. How do you feel about him being a leader?
I think you said it. I mean, it's got to have some teeth. It's whether you're taking away an event that the kids enjoy, or you're pulling them into your office and saying, "Hey, you're not cutting it, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to, cut your scholarship or send you home or whatever the case is." I mean, I think that there's got to be some teeth to the rules, and that comes from the top.
Kelly, what about the event itself? Should they continue to have St. Fratty's Day?
I can't even believe it's still allowed at this point after the whole and situations that have happened during the Poly Royal, the Mardi Gras situations. There should be ample warning before that any student that participates in any activity like this will be severely punished. That's what I believe the university should do.
I'm glad you called, Kelly. Thank you very much. How about that, a preemptive strike?
Well, you know, the city of SLO did that, Dave. You know, they advertised heavily, especially on social media. All the fines are doubled and police are going to be out in force and really discouraging kids from partying, and it didn't help at all.
805-543-8830. Eric is in San Luis. Hi, Eric.
Oh, hi, Dave.
Hi, Eric.
I think the most puzzling part about this is that it's a major university. It runs on quarter systems, and exams began today. Why are 7,000 to 8,000 people out in the street all weekend partying?
That's a great question.
Yeah, that's a heck of a good question. The priorities are a little mixed up as far as I could tell. Getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and going and partying. I just can't imagine how that would work with the finals week, coming up. It boggles the mind. It really does.
So, Eric, given all this, what would you recommend Cal Poly do? What should the city do? What should happen?
If I was the president, I would have had policy in place that said, if you want to engage in illegal activities and you're found guilty during times like this, you're expelled from the university.
And that's what I meant by stronger leadership. He articulated it much better than I did there, but that's absolutely spot on. I agree with that.
You think anything is going to happen, though, Eric?
Well, maybe we'll get a new president.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, Eric, thank you. 805-543-8830 as Tom Franciscovich joins us to talk about the events at Cal Poly and in the San Luis Obispo neighborhood this last weekend. Wynette joins us now on KVEC. Hey, Wynette.
Hi, Dave.
Hey.
How you doing?
We're good. How are you?
I am doing well.
Great.
I'm trying to understand. I mean, I went to Cal Poly. I worked at Cal Poly. I really respect Dr. Armstrong, to be honest. I don't understand how he can control the non-Cal Poly students coming in to the area. And my understanding is there were a fair amount, I mean, I guess it's a guesstimate, but a fair amount of non-Cal Poly students there. Do you guys have any input on that?
I do, actually. That's a great point. I mentioned my daughter was actually one of the revelers, and I'm not super proud of that fact, but she's a good kid, and she shared a story with me about her roommate, and her roommate was at the party, and they were at the party, and they happened to bump into the roommate's brother, and he's from San Diego. And she said, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And, well, I heard about this party, St. Friday's Day, and everybody's coming up for it. So
this is Mardi Gras all over again.
It is. And I was talking to Dave during the break about the Halloween at Isla Vista years ago that got out of hand.
Yeah.
And I'd be curious.
I used to live in Isla Vista.
Oh, did you? Really?
I mean,
wow.
I got to say, I don't look to, and in my day it was Dr. Baker. I didn't look to Dr. Baker to influence my behavior. No. He is the leader of the campus. He's very much an academic leader too. But I'm just struggling, and I heard about it right away because it was on Facebook, and I just was ashamed to be a Cal Poly alum.
Well,
to see that happening, but I don't completely blame the students.
And maybe this is where the Cal Poly alumni step in, Tom, put pressure on people.
Maybe so, Dave. Maybe so. There's you know, once the horse gets out of the barn, as Kathy mentioned earlier, it's tough to put him back in.
Wynette, thank you for calling. We move on to Carolyn in San Luis. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi there, Dave.
Hi
there, Tom.
Hi.
Thanks for talking about this issue.
Sure.
I belong, of course, to the board of RQN, and I can tell you this has been a real anxiety issue for a lot of us during this coming up to this event. I think the PD did a better job this year of having a lot more officers present, but of course that's not going to solve the problem. And I agree that it's going to be very difficult to do it, but I think between Cal Poly and the city, they can work together to try to stop this event. They're just sheer luck that nobody got seriously injured, at least not that we know of. But there's also, I would think that Armstrong would be concerned about, and even the ASI, since it's on their website, the Mustang Way, which was brought up back after the during the roof collapse thing. They wanted students to be responsible, respectful, demonstrate good judgment. It's part of their Mustang Way mantra, and they've just thrown all that out the window, because this is not a good image for Cal Poly students or, frankly, for the city.
Yeah.
It just shows that we're a party city, party school.
That's the slow life, Tom Franciscovich.
It is. The slow life gone wild, Dave. It's gotten to be too much. I wonder if there's some room for creativity here somehow, where we have, you know, volunteer, you know, Cal Poly alumni, people wearing vests and walking around, just kind of observing and helping slow PD. And
more adults.
More adults on the scene.
You're going to get up at 3 a.m.?
I'm not, but I bet you there's a lot of people in that neighborhood would.
Carolyn, what's the call to action here? What do you want the city to do?
I want the city to partner with Cal Poly, and there is a group called Student Community Liaison Committee, SCLC, and it contains city people, it contains the mayor, a council member that rotates, Cuesta representatives, Cal Poly representatives, ASI is the president. They have fraternity leaders and sorority leaders on this group. It's a perfect venue for them to discuss how they can end this problem, because you've got to have a cooperation of a bunch of people now, because it's too late to try to stop it with enforcement. You're just not going to do that.
All right, Carolyn, thank you for checking in. You're nodding your head.
I agree. It's too late. And I mentioned it before. If you disperse that crowd, they're going to congregate somewhere else. So getting ahead of it is the key. I agree with that.
Carolyn, thank you. Let's hear from Sean in San Luis. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Dave. Hey, I'm glad this conversation is being talked about. We live across the freeway in the historic Mill Street District area of San Luis Obispo, and we could hear the party start at 3:17 in the morning, representing 3:17, the date, St. Patrick's Day. My biggest issue and question and complaint would be the fact that the taxpayers of the county of San Luis Obispo are paying for all of the sirens that we were hearing all night long that kept us awake all night. And I don't think that's fair to the community. It's not fair to the people. I feel like Cal Poly is responsible for St. Fratty's Day. And the fraternity specifically, it's St. Fratty's Day, quote unquote St. Fratty's Day. And if you want more, and if I hope Armstrong is listening to this, and I hope everyone's listening to this. You want to see all the people that violated and committed crimes? Simply get on to TikTok. I'm sorry, TikTok's this term thing, but this is what the kids are using. We watched literally 2 hours of evidence, just like the evidence that I brought in during BLM with Keanu Rada.
And what'd you see?
Pull-ups on wires, electrical wires, climbing up the stop signs, up the poles, and we're paying for this. The city's paying for all the emergency crews to go there when you have real human beings that are hurt and injured during this time. It's very upsetting.
Well, that's why
to the community.
That's why I asked earlier, Tom, whether or not the city should be reimbursed by the university.
I think that'd be a start, but I also agree. Why not take action with the bad actors here? I mean, I'd say most of the kids are well behaved and you know, being, you know, responsible. But yeah, absolutely. If they're climbing around on an electrical wire, they shouldn't.
With all due respect to your daughter, I know you're a proud papa. Why is it responsible to be out drinking at 4 a.m. in the morning in a private neighborhood? Everybody in that crowd is guilty of being irresponsible.
I agree with you, Dave. And, you know, I think what's going to happen here is they're going to be irresponsible in some way, shape, or form. But how do you contain it?
How can we
live with this? I mean, we are in a college town, and, you know, there's got to be some happy medium. I mean, we can't be so unrealistic to think that college kids aren't going to party. So how do you control it?
Party before midnight.
There's 40 people on top of one roof. I don't know if anyone saw that footage. 40 people on top of the roof. I'm surprised no one fell through that roof this year.
Bad. I support the police 100%, but they had to see all these people on the roof. Why doesn't somebody say, get off that roof?
Well, not only did they see it then, we see it now. There's video evidence. I mean, we could go and, you know, prosecute the bad actors, and we should. And they should be, you know, kicked out of school if that's the case.
Sean, thank you. Go get some sleep. Thanks for calling in. Let's hear from Jim up in North County. Hey, Jim.
Hey.
Hey.
Why are they kids?
What do you mean?
Everybody refers to them as kids. They're far from being kids. Most of those people are old enough to be in the military and do other things. Yeah. So I don't think they're kids.
That's true.
And they should. I think they should be educated about what they're doing and bill them. You know, the rowdies that cause the problems, just bill them. That's all. And as far as Mr. Armstrong, he's just a politician. He's not going to get involved or cut anybody's throat. Technically speaking, he's not going to kick people out. There's too much money involved. And how much money does the city make on this with the bars and everything?
Oh, tons.
How much alcohol is sold during that day of St. Patty's Day and consumed? How much food is consumed?
I'm sure it's a big day.
Well, we got to look at those numbers.
I'm sure it's a big day for them.
Well, sure. And that's why the city's not going to worry about it. So you just bill the individuals. That's simple. And tell the contractors to build better roofs.
Jim is so cynical, Tom.
Right.
Well, yeah. But Dave, come on. You just can't, you know, people are complaining, scolding them, they should do this, they should do that. They're adults. These people are enough to, you know, sacrifice their lives for something. They're adults. There's no need to treat them as kids or refer to them as kids. They are not kids. I mean, besides, kids are goats. In other words, educate them about what they're going to do and realize that they're going to be billed. Money hurts. Kicking them out is not going to fix it. Just money hurts. The parents are not going to like it. And they have to pay a bill in thousands, then it speaks for itself.
I like that, Jim. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah, enforce the rules. I'm with them all the way.
805-543-8830, 800-549-5832, as we try to make sense out of the nonsense this weekend involving college students, not just Cal Poly. They're from all over the place, apparently. Jeff is on KVEC. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you, folks?
We're good.
Good topic.
Thank you.
I was right dead center in the middle of all of that at that time on Hathaway, videoing and taking photos and talking to quite a few people.
What'd you see?
It was belly to belly, shoulder to shoulder. There was literally, it would take, if you tried to cross just the street of Hathaway, it'd take easily a half hour just to get across the street, if you could. There are so many people. I will say that overall, all of these young adults, the ones I ran into, they're very polite. They're pretty drunk. They're very polite. There are a couple windshields about in the middle of Hathaway that were beaten out of the cars. A lot of, you know, a little bit of destruction. Not as bad as I've seen at times in the past. But what I would like to point out is, this has all taken place within the city. And where is our city manager and our city council and our mayor for all of this, our city attorney?
It took 3 minutes.
It wasn't on campus. It was right there in a neighborhood within the city.
It took 3 minutes to get to our city manager. All right, so, Jeff, what do you want the city to do?
I think what needs to be done is for Cal Poly to step up to bat. This is a dry campus. And by being a dry campus and promoting all of these events, have these events on campus, find a place on campus. There's all kinds of room, football fields, baseball fields. You want these kids to blow off steam and be hammered? Why can't they do it on state property at that time for these functions? And it's more out of the way. It's not burdening any neighbors whatsoever. And why isn't our city, our mayors, our managers, and Jeff Armstrong, president of Cal Poly, getting together and making this happen?
Well, hopefully they will. Thanks for checking in, Jeff. I'll tell a quick side story that I've mentioned before. I went to Illinois State University, and they had a thing called Rites of Spring. They had a big rectangular quad. It was in March or April. And from Friday until Sunday, you could go on the quad. You could bring a tent. It was music. You could do whatever you wanted, whatever. It was like being in Amsterdam. And they had cops ring the quad. If you left, you couldn't come back in. As long as you stayed inside the quad, you could do whatever the hell you wanted.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
Yeah, I don't know. We have a text from a Cal Poly employee on the Stolberg line who is saying the solution is ban Greek life from campus. It will limit many of the issues of organized partying and sexual assault all year long.
I would love for Greek life to be eliminated, period.
Me too.
I don't have any regard or respect for it at all.
We go to Alan in San Luis. Hey, Alan.
Hey, how you guys doing? Several things come to mind. One is, yes, throwing students out. Two, much bigger fines. Three, for those who are, whether they're Poly students or out-of-towners, fines are one thing. Throw them in a drunk tank. You've got to have people experience that, because some of them might just, pay the fine and don't care, but maybe a little experience for a couple days in jail might wake a few people up.
Oh, I love that idea.
And four, we've got to get after the house owners. Big fines. If their house is being used this way, the owners are responsible to know what's going on in their homes. And if this happens, they will be warned, but if it happens, then they get a big fat fee from the city for doing that.
And Kathy was talking about that when she called in earlier. Mm-hmm. It's the landlords.
Yep. You know, Dave, what happens a lot of times, those landlords will write that into the lease, that they, if they are fined or punished in any way, they pass that on to their tenants.
Let me get Craig in here. Craig, what's up?
I think this is a case of it takes two to tango. You got the party goers who are breaking the law, and you got the police who are not enforcing the law. And both of those groups are culpable. It is right here. I looked it up. 91330, Municipal Code Against Illegal Unruly Gatherings. The cops, they are under a mandate to stop these things because they are against the law, and they did not. They just stood back and let the kids do their thing. And if an action is rewarded, it is continued. And that's what happened.
All right. Alan, thank you. Let me squeeze in Brett. Hey, Brett.
Hey. So what I'm kind of hearing is that the kids have a right to party. I want you to think about this. You know, there was 5,000 to 7,000 kids there. Would you want that in your neighborhood, even though, you know, it's 4 hours, 5 hours worth? I don't think so.
You're not hearing that from me. I'm not saying they have the right to party.
I'm hearing it from your guest.
Is that what you're saying, Tom?
No, not at all. No, that's not what I'm...
You seem to be saying it's fine that they're out there partying as long as they don't, you know, create havoc.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they're going to be doing this. I'm looking for a way to help control it and contain it. But no, I'm not advocating for it. I think college kids are going to party. I think it's unrealistic to say that they're not. But no.
7,000 is okay?
No.
Brett, what's the answer?
Well, this reminds me when Warren Baker, the only time I ever saw him at a city council meeting was after the Pauley riots. And the only reason why Mr. Armstrong, I think, is concerned is because now the chancellor's office knows that there was some real issues on campus. I don't think there would have been any issue on campus. President Armstrong would have said a word. Because this has been going on for quite a long time now. I mean, that roof collapse was in 2015 in that neighborhood.
Right, and now there's students back up on the roof.
and we're not talking about just one event a year there in that neighborhood. The activities that take place there, you know, are happening Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night every week. So if you live in that neighborhood, it's really a hellhole.
We got to go. All right, Brett, thank you. We'll come back and wrap things up with Mr. Franciscovich. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio. And we're so thankful that Tom Franciscovich could join us this afternoon. He gets 30 seconds for a final thought.
Dave, great conversation today, and you know I think that there's a way to make this work, and you know we've got a wonderful community here, a lot of thoughtful calls in today, and you know I hope that everybody can continue to coexist peacefully, but there are rules, and they should be enforced. That's the bottom line, and hopefully they will be here in the future.
We need Clint Eastwood to move into that neighborhood. Get off my lawn.
There you go.
All right, speaking of Clint Eastwood, when we come back, it's a conversation with Bill Ostrander about Hollywood in the 1980s. That certainly includes Mr. Eastwood. You're listening to The Dave Congleton Show.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111911.